May 6, 1983, Senate Committee on Energy and Environment, 1 o'clock p.m., Room A, work session on Senate Bill 232, Senate Bill 406, Senate Bill 416, Senate Bill 419, Chairman John Kitzhaber presiding.
Four bills on work session today, but before that, Senator Day wants to bring the committee up to speed on the amendments he's been working on to Senate Bill 2.
Well, what I'd really like to have you do, I've handed out to you a copy of amendments to almost any bill in your committee dealing with land use. It's 237 right now, but it can be any. And there's a summary that takes a section by section for you, and I plan to, at the proper time, move the amendments, but I'd like to have you read it over the weekend. If you have comments or ideas, I'd appreciate it.
Okay? Yeah, and we're going to be taking this up at 3 o'clock on Monday, good. So it would be good to review this before then and get some ideas.
3 on Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Show me.
Okay.
This is for Fred.
Thanks so much.
Keep hoping the administrator will pop through the door at any minute.
Uh-huh. Here he comes.
No? You want a new job? Okay. I'll have the... Okay. The first bill we'll be dealing with is Senate Bill 406. If you recall, that was the bill that was introduced to deal with the...
Can I ask you guys a question? Could I have my bill book?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll be at ease at a moment here. And there goes Joyce.
Do you have any of her bill?
Maybe if we put chains on the chairs.
Tethers.
I got...
Hey, can I help Swain? Look at the bill.
Yeah.
Just blowing your face.
What one are we going to hit first?
406.
406.
Okay. Signals
are good ready. Bill should pass.
Okay. This is the bill that amends the definition of land use regulation to include charter amendments, and there was some concern about the language in the printed bill as to whether or not it did what we wanted to do. We did get some amendments. There was still some question, and there are two new sets of amendments, and I wonder if Elizabeth Nolan could come up and just sort of explain the amendments and just take us through this.
Elizabeth Norman, Legislative Council. The first set of amendments, which I believe is dated 4/14/83. It's SB 406-2. Does exactly the same thing as the printed bill, except in what we hope is a cleaner way. The bill.
These amendments, pardon, Mr. Chairman. These amendments are dated 4/14/83.
4/14/83.
Okay, I don't.
There's also a set that is dated 5/5/83.
Does the committee have those?
I have 411.
You got 406 there?
406.
Oh, just in time. You don't have the amendments, but you will in a moment.
Oh,
the amendments.
God bless
that
America.
That explains a lot of things.
These are dated 5/5/83. Is there another set besides that?
He said
the other set is basically section 2 sub 1 of the set. So you can refer to
okay.
It that way.
Okay. Yeah. You got to, where's the other set? You got both sets here, Todd?
The other set is section 2 sub 1
okay.
Of 406.3.
Okay.
So this is a new one.
Okay. Okay, Elizabeth.
Okay. Section 2 sub 1 is what the original amendment was, and it is simply, instead of doing what the original bill did, which was to amend some definitions, I set out in one paragraph what the bill was to do.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day?
Excuse me. These incorporate an entire set of amendments, including the ones we've adopted already, is that correct, or the ones that were suggested?
We haven't adopted any amendments.
None have been adopted. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The second set of amendments adds a series of provisions which are basically enforcement provisions. The bill as amended with subsection 1 of section 2 would require that a charter provision adopted by initiative for a city or county would be reviewed by the commission or the land use board if it either adopted standards regulate on land use issues or established policies. In other words, if it was an equivalent to a land use regulation or a comprehensive plan policy. If the amendments with just that one paragraph in them, if the commission determined that a charter provision violated the goals, in an acknowledgement proceeding, the local jurisdiction would not be acknowledged. They then have to, one way or another, repeal that charter provision. Under this original amendment, they would have to have the voters repeal it. The second set of amendments provides two judicial enforcement procedures. Subsection 2 of Section 2 would allow when a person, a party, appealed the commission or the board's determination that it violated the goals. When they appealed that, they could request, so it would be basically an additional relief, and that would be that if the court upheld that determination, they could invalidate the charter provision. The charter provision would no longer be valid, and then the local jurisdiction could be acknowledged. The subsection 3 allows a person, anyone listed, just a second here, in paragraphs A through E, allows any one of those persons to take a final determination of the board or commission to the circuit court and have it enforced in a proceeding to invalidate the charter provision. Subsection 4 requires that the court follow the determination of the board or commission so that the circuit court would not be making a decision whether or not the goal or comp plan were violated. They would simply be enforcing it by invalidating the goals. The issue is that basically you can't have a state agency invalidating a charter provision. It's a judicial function, and so that's the reason for having to have the court enforce the commission's determination.
Questions concerning this?
Mr. Chairman?
Sir Day?
I'll move the amendments dated 5583 to Senate Bill 406-3.
Okay. Senator Day moves the amendments to Senate Bill 406-3 dated 5583. Under discussion, after having grappled with this for quite a while, do you see any potential problems with the way these are drafted that should be brought to our attention?
I do, and mostly just involve some more work on my part that hasn't been able to be done because of time and not being able to get a hold of some people. In subsection 1 of section 2, we've generally tied the charter provisions to review under the entire chapter 197, which is the land use chapter. I think there's some, in terms of procedures, there's going to be some difficulties there, and that some more work could be done to set out how the inconsistencies work. In other words, charter provisions are different than comprehensive plan policies and land use regulations in the way they're adopted, and so there's going to be the procedures that are set up won't always work.
If we were to adopt these, what you're essentially talking about is an addition, some additional language that would be inserted in these.
Right.
Senator Day?
Well, I guess I thought we were ready to go. I'll just withdraw my amendments. I'd rather have a set of clean amendments, I guess I'd just soon set it aside and have a set of clean amendments when she's ready to go instead of mess with it today.
Is there any other comment? Yes, Senator Cohen?
I'd like to ask you, is there going to be any way that a person who wishes to circulate a charter amendment can somehow prospectively run this by whoever's going to evaluate it to find out whether they think it passes before they go through all the trouble of collecting all the signatures? And you know, that's a concern that I have, people going out there and going full speed ahead and then finding out a year or two later that all of a sudden the state's reviewed a charter amendment which they have drawn up. And
you know, we have that problem with the initiative process anyway. We all the time. We have the death penalty is a good example. If they didn't bother to check it out legally properly, it didn't fly. I mean, you're going to always have that possibility that they circulate something that maybe wasn't valid. We can't guarantee somebody under the initiative process that they're going to do it correctly. I just don't see how you can do that.
Senator Cohen?
That's all right. No, I'm just raising a concern about, you know, if you're going to look into procedures and review procedures, just see how, so that we can make the record clear about how the procedures would be likely to be followed. If nothing that we have in here will deal with that, then I'm interested in knowing that, and that's fine.
There is, under the post-acknowledgement procedures that exist, before a local government adopts a new land use regulation or a comprehensive plan amendment, they are required to give notice to LCDC, to the director of the department, 45 days before they take final action. That would apply to the charter amendment. The problem there is that they would get notice, but the local government doesn't vote on this, so they couldn't change their mind and decide not to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think her point's well taken, Ms. Chairman. If she could get those and work with the people involved so we could look at a clean setup.
Is there a way to deal with that concern, Senator Cohen? Well, what I'm trying to do is get a sense of whether there's enough people that are interested in pursuing this on the committee. If not,
I am. I'd like to pursue it. I think it's definitely a very important issue. And the only thing I think are points well taken, that we should spell out the procedure for this particular process. And I just don't think it'll take that long for her to do it. And if we could schedule for the next meeting we have, I think we could. I really definitely would like to get this bill out.
Senator Cohen? Okay. That's fine. Okay. Proceed along those lines then. Thank you. Okay, we'll close the work session on 406.
Sorry, I thought the amendment was ready to go, but she's right.
And we'll open the work session on Senate Bill 416.
Because if they had to give all that go through the procedures.
I think if you recall the last the public hearing, both the Department of Energy and the Health Division just briefly made the statement that we were going to bring them back so that they could go into their concerns in a little more detail. So I'll have the Department of Energy come up and maybe just to bring us up to speed again on your position and then answer any questions that we may have. Yes.
You want 416, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Lynn Frank, Director of the Department of Energy, with me is Don Garner, Administrative Siting Regulation Division. Mr. Chairman, in summary, the testimony we offered the committee before reflected the conviction that this is an issue, the question of how to resolve the question of waste disposal and water sharing. It's an issue that's on a long and extensive legislative history, with legislation making the conclusion of 1981, directing the Energy Facility Siting Council to conduct a case hearing on the issue to consider the standards, compromising the standards based on proposals submitted by Tolan and Law Chang. The council had held those hearings, and consistent with the time frames that you directed them to make a decision, and did make a decision That decision is now pending before the Supreme Court with appeals filed by both by the Teledyne and the interpreters, and the court has, consistent with your direction to them, put that on a priority docket consideration being scheduled expeditiously there. So I think our conviction is that this has had a long and extensive history, and our judgment has been issued there that needs to be resolved. The council has set on its course toward resolution. The court will either affirm that or direct new consideration of specific areas, which the council event conducted and approved, to move forward toward resolution of this long-standing issue. In our review, the technical review of the bill, there were a number of issues and questions that would have simply extended the resolution of what some consider to be a significant question of public health and safety. And given the long legislative history and the careful technical review of the council, we judge those issues not to have merit, and that we ought to complete the process we started so long ago.
Mr. Chairman, you got any second motions on that?
Yes, I'd like to see if any of the other members have any questions first. So, Starwood?
Lynn, what would the department's position be on this if it were made prospectively, if it would not apply to processes already underway?
Mr. Chairman, if it were made prospectively, it would be moot. There's only one circumstance in which the issue applies, and that's the Teledyne law change. You established a time factor in your bill, and to our knowledge, there's only one. We're going to be subject to that.
Additional questions?
I move to table Senate Bill 416.
Senator Day moves to table Senate Bill 416 as a non-debatable motion. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Ford?
No.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
No.
Senator Stavridge?
No.
Senator Kutnow?
No. Now, do the committee members have any additional questions of Department of Energy?
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen?
No, I just don't. I guess for the record, the only thing I can say is, judging from the testimony that we have from Sarah Hoffman of the last meeting, I wonder, I guess, whether that has any impact at all on the Siding Council's decision, and whether I think that probably our legislative determination of last year made that irrelevant, but I just wondered whether that was any part of the issue which they even could consider under the rules, and whether they in fact rejected it, and I guess that was I probably know the answer in terms of the meandering of that river and where it was, when it was meandered, and where it is in fact moving right now. That was not a consideration, or was it?
Mr. Chairman, the council did consider meandering the river. It was a predominant concern in their decision. There are two ways to protect against meandering the river: riprapping to prevent the river from moving into the sludge, or moving the sludge to an area that's outside the meander zone. The latter was the council's preference. The order requires that trying to move it outside of the meander zone, providing that the groundwater conditions in that area are suitable. The fallback position is to leave it where it is, but to take precautions against meander.
Okay. Additional questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a real conflict here because I at once see I at once see the health hazard. I'm not convinced the health hazard is being properly addressed, and yet I'm sensitive to the particular concerns that the company involved has. And I'm wondering, I haven't seen any signal that beyond what is being done now, that there's a real interest in addressing the problem. And I guess I'm not convinced that what is being done now is sufficient. And so if there's something you can add to what's already been said, you know, we've heard mostly testimony in favor of the bill, saying that there's a serious problem that's going to, pretty soon we're going to be having a river that's going to be eating away into the facility, and we have testimony from the person downstream on whose land the material is going to be deposited. I've heard nothing other than it's in the works, don't disturb it. Don't disturb the process that in opposition to the bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The part of the issue is a question that because of the committee is whether the committee wants to litigate the whole issue in its entirety. The record is rather lengthy on each of the issues, but we'll endeavor to address the specific question that you posed. The council did expressly consider the question of meander. Hydrologists and Department of Water Resources, the Corps of Engineers and others were involved in endeavoring to address the question of how the river would affect this potential waste disposal site. And their recommendations were especially considered in the decision the council made. As Don outlined a moment ago, the council set up a decision that says we ought to move it out of the river channel, further up in the agricultural fields, if the groundwater considerations could be dealt with. Otherwise, one should go with the site where it was and have engineered barriers, dikes, riprops, or whatever, to protect the site against the meandering river, which is being done elsewhere.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're the people from the health division. Just kind of brief shot at this last time, and we'd like to kind of summarize your statement again for us. And
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Stewart Smith. I'm a health physicist with the health division's radiation control section. Briefly, to restate our written testimony turned in last hearing, we have some concerns that portions of the bill, specifically amending in section 2, amending ORS 469-375, I'll read it. It would add language stating under currently available technologies. It would read, there is under currently available technologies no currently available alternative site for disposal of such waste, and it was added, that would better protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and the environment. Our concern about that phrase is that it's subjective in nature, that anybody could find a site within the state that might in some way be better than a site that would be proposed. And our concern is that this rule would put state administrative agencies in the position of going out and looking for waste disposal sites, when perhaps our more appropriate position would be evaluating the sites proposed to us by the companies. Secondly, that the bill cites Health Division and EPA drinking water rules as wastewater standards, wastewater concentration standards. And our feeling on that is that those rules were designed to be measured at a drinking water tap, and to consider drinking water regulations or drinking water concentrations as wastewater concentrations for radiation, for radioactive materials, is inconsistent with rules of Health Division for all other types of pollutants, particulate, chemical, biological in nature, as well as the state DEQ rules on wastewater discharge limits, and we see no reason to single out one particular isotope out of a list of hundreds for this particular treatment. I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee might have. Mr. Chairman?
Under the current proposed disposal system that the Siting Council has looked at, the alternative of an upland burial, or if they were to stay there, do you feel there's any potential health hazard really existing that's going to injure health in either system they're suggesting?
Mr. Chairman, the either system that the Siting Council suggested, no, our position throughout these administrative hearings is that this material is so innocuous from a radioactive standpoint as to not pose as any kind of a significant public health hazard, either where it is now under the original proposal of Teledyne Huaqing, or if it were moved to the northern site. We have a small concern that moving it to the northern site is unnecessary, and that any groundwater, shallow groundwater degradation that might take place would be extended at the northern site because of its distance from the river. But either one, we don't feel really would have any significant effect on the public health and safety.
Mr. Chairman, we listened to concerns over this for 4 years in the legislature. 4 years ago, we, because of not knowing just exactly what we were dealing with, we passed a bill to create a study to determine the waste, whether there were toxic metals involved, just what was involved. But when they proceeded to go through hearings, and it appears that this bill is here because some people are dissatisfied with the result of the hearings, where they go or what have you. I can tell you this is a major employer in this area. The cost of dealing with the proposals that they're involved in is going to be somewhere around $1 million, others about $2.5 million. The proposal really here is to, the net result of this is to close the plant down. That's what the sponsors are after. It's an anti-business approach, totally. It doesn't have anything to do with health. Just has to do with the fact that some people feel that they're against the nuclear industry or people that supply them. And I just don't understand how we can constantly be going after this particular facility because of some cause, or we want to raise the flag or what have you. It's tiresome after so long when, in fact, our best health agency are telling you there isn't a health hazard that exists. So I guess, I'll work with you, but this particular issue... is just something to constantly, because someone, certain area of people feel that they would like to see this employer go elsewhere. Well, that's the message in this bill. Go elsewhere. So let's get on and pass it. That's what you want to do.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep. Oh. Sarah Hamby?
Yes. May I ask, Senator Day, rather than just, tabling the entire bill, LB, on page 5, the rules adopting a flux standard, requesting the Siting Council to at least recognize rules that speak to a flux standard. Is that valid?
Well, I've got to tell you that I think that the Siting Council has, in my opinion, worked this over. If anything, they've been over-exercised over it. I think the process has been used, and frankly, in the middle of the process, because some people are dissatisfied that they want to go even a step further and put the company out of business, this bill is here. That's why I don't like it. It's just a bad bill, a bad name, and a bad purpose. That's what it was set up here for. Now, I don't mean to be uncompromised, but we heard this issue before the Environment Committee, and we have tried to address it, and each time, if it isn't going to close the factory down, there's no bill here to do it. That's what this does.
Mr. Starkovich?
What do you think of the flux standard versus the concentration standard?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Starkovich, the flux standard recognizes the differences in perhaps the size of a facility, the amount of air or liquid effluent leaving a facility, and my understanding of the purpose behind the flux standard is to limit the total amount of radioactivity leaving a site rather than the concentration, recognizing that perhaps one facility may release 10 liters of water per day at a certain concentration, another one 100,000 of the same concentration, resulting in a difference of total radioactivity leaving the site. The Health Division's concern in working with the Department of Energy on such rules and such standards is that to adopt a flux standard, one has to have a mathematical representation of the site. We have to know how much water is traversing through the site and leaving. And so we then are put in the position of trying to regulate a site with a theoretical model. And we currently have such a model for the regulation of radon gas leaving a waste disposal site. It was a good effort on the part of the state agencies involved in the legislature in affirming it, but it has proved to be very difficult to enforce, because the assumptions one has to make in order to come up with the model have been different as far as the company's concerned with respect to what the state agencies have made. Those assumptions neither are correct or incorrect. They are assumptions. And we then are put in the position of trying to enforce, again, somewhat of a subjective theoretical model. And it's a very difficult type of quantity to regulate.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we put this bill off until next Friday. If I may speak to that, I frankly need more time to consider this. I'm sensitive to the concerns of both sides, and I really, in my own mind, haven't resolved the issue, and I don't feel I can cast an intelligent vote today.
Okay, so Stargovich's motion was to set the bill up again on our work session the week of Friday. Is there any objection to that?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, what I would really like from both the DED and the Health Division is that this gentleman just testified that he can see no health hazard. And what I'd like to have them do is address, does a flux standard, would a flux standard really work, or is it necessary? And I'd like to have some dissertation for both of them.
Would like the committee to note several recommended changes. Mm-hmm.